All right, this is Steeler Country. I'm your host, Tony, alongside my two co-hosts, Mike and Joe. The Steelers lose to the Dallas Cowboys 27-24 in overtime. They have now lost 4 of 5 to drop to a record of 7-7, a 500 record for a team that not long ago was, what, 6-2? It's been a tough road so far, Mike, in this season. A lot of ups, a lot of downs. Hard to think of a worse feeling after a loss than this week.
It's another tough week, man. It's a tough season. It's tough to sit here and talk about the Steelers after losing 4 or 5 and being 7-7. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but you still got to be in the back of your mind that they're, I don't know, is there a little optimism? I mean, in this game, if you think about this Cowboy game, they did play well enough to win, except, there is a big except here, except of some of the bonehead or dumb plays as far as, fumbling the punt and not fielding the punt, Antonio Brown running out of bounds to not stop the clock. That didn't really hurt him, and those were all Antonio Brown. And there were other plays, just, I don't know, it just seemed like some bonehead plays, but there were parts of the game where they played well. And then giving up a lot of yards on the defense, that's tough. The defense had some okay plays, but then you think of the cornerbacks that we were playing, that we had to play because of injuries, especially at the end of the game. So if you think of it as, and they didn't really need the game, and they knew it going in. So if you think of it as, this was kind of a nice preseason game. If you think of it as the third preseason game, it's a good back and forth game. And you come out of it, yeah, we did some good things. Your score doesn't matter. We're going to move forward, but it's tough to take. And the interception at the end. So
I was
still control their own destiny, right?
They do. You know, that's you know, I guess there's a good and bad coming out of this game. I mean, obviously the bad thing is we dropped to 7-7. If the playoffs started today, we're out of it. But you know, the good thing is if we win out, we control our own destiny. We make the playoffs. And you know, we're now, you know, playoffs start now for the Steelers. So, Joe, this was a tough loss to the Dallas Cowboys, but I was surprised to hear how many Steelers after the game mentioned the fact that, well, you know, we still control our own destiny. You know, how many players were basically aware of the fact that they could lose this game and still go on? You think that played a factor in how they played? Did it seem like the Steelers just kind of no-showed out there?
I don't know that I'd call. Hey, Steeler Country, thanks for joining us. I never thank you after we win, because I figure, you know, you're going to be here anyway, because everybody likes to, like, be around a winner, you know. But I always thank you for joining us when we lose, because, and I know how I am, man. I just tune it all out when the Steelers lose. So thanks for joining us. We'll try to make it worth your while. Okay, so your question, Tony, is did the players show up or did they just kind of slough this one off? And then their comments after the game, they kind of gave away the fact that, hey, you know, we didn't really need this one and we knew it. So I think the proof is in the words. I mean, they're not lying. They said what was in their minds. And if that was their mindset, and it had to be if they're talking about it, that is their mindset, well, then that's the way it turned out. It's a frustrating game to watch. The Steelers have been a frustrating team to watch all year. I come on this podcast every week, and I say, hey, you know, there's still hope. Don't write these guys off yet. You know, and I'm not. That's not what I'm about to do. I'm not writing them off. But I would be dishonest if I didn't say I was disgusted with these guys. And I think it has to do with that attitude. That sort of explains it all to me, because I was kind of mystified. I'm like, okay, so how do I criticize the team? Because it's the players who – there were certain players who blew the game in the end, namely Ben and Brown. They blew the game. Brown had the fumble, and Ben threw the interception in overtime, costing the game. Game over.
Hey, can we add Mike Wallace to that list? Because on the interception, shouldn't he have touched the guy down quickly, or at least tackled him there at the 35? That would have been the 35, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to criticize a wide receiver for not making a tackle, but I agree with you. You know, it just seems like when the chips are against him, he certainly, you know, he's not the guy.
No, and let's not pin it on Mike. Okay, look, Mike Wallace had a difficult season, and it's fun, and he got booed at Heinz Field last week, and he pretty much deserved it. Not necessarily for the play he got booed on, but for his attitude, you know, starting with, I'm holding out, I'm not coming, I don't want to play for the Steelers anymore, you know, and then his attitude for the whole season. He's gotten his just due. On that particular play, Ben Roethlisberger threw a crappy pass. He never checked off to anybody else, never checked any other out. He was throwing that ball. He didn't care if there was a Mack truck coming the other way. He was throwing that ball. That's totally on Ben Roethlisberger. And if it got run back for a touchdown, you know, that's what happens when you throw interceptions.
Yeah.
Now, I told you, Tony, if we talk too much about this game.
So we've only been on for like 5 minutes.
I was melancholy, okay? And then you got to start giving me this, well, Mike Wallace could have made, you know, even though he threw an interception in field goal range, Mike Wallace.
Well, my point is it was the 35. And so
you are a Ben apologist.
I mean, yeah, maybe I am, but I just don't like that. It just seemed like he gave up. I mean, then on the other end, it's Heath Miller, you know, working his ass off to make the tackle at the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think Wallace had a good game. I still like Wallace, but it's just, I don't know. When I saw that, I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, coming out of this game, I don't know if I said this last week, but certainly this has been on my mind. You know, whatever happened to throw style points out the window, just as long as we put up more points, that's all that matters. You know, we've thrown style points out the window for the last 5 weeks, and we've had chances to win late, and this team, the Tomlin teams come through in the end, but this team isn't, man, and that's what worries me. You know, I know that every one of these losses, you can have some little excuse. Well, you know, we lost to Baltimore because Leftwich played hurt. We lost to Cleveland because we just fluky turned the ball over 8 times. We lost to San Diego, I don't know. What is the excuse for San Diego? We just didn't show up or what? And then Dallas, you know, yeah, the cornerbacks weren't there. But that didn't matter. You know, in 2008 when we made that Super Bowl run, or in 2010, that didn't matter, you know. Yeah, we had guys hurt, but we still won these close games. They found ways to win. This particular Steeler team has lost its ability to find ways to win games. In fact, they're finding ways to lose games, and that's what's really concerning to me. And then to follow that up with locker room drama, including, you know, Mendenhall no showing against San Diego, and now Roethlisberger basically throwing Haley under the bus after this game. The problems that are on the field are now becoming problems off the field, and you combine the injury problems on all of that, and it's hard for me to stay, you know, confident about this team or to be optimistic about this team when you look at the big picture of this thing. Yeah, if we got healthy, we would have the talent, but do they have the mental? Are they mentally there to put together a stretch that would involve this team making a run in the playoffs? I don't care if we beat Cincinnati and Cleveland. It's, can we beat New England? Can we beat Denver? Can we beat Houston? Those are the teams you have to worry about.
I mean, when you put it like that, I mean, what's more likely, that this team goes on a Super Bowl run or this team loses one of the next 2 games?
Yeah, and misses the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, we'll get to score predictions later, but I'm none too impressed with what I'm seeing. You know, not just on the field. I think if we're looking at the on-the-field product that we saw, I don't think it was as bad as we all think it is. You know, certainly from a defensive standpoint, you know, there were a lot of bad moments in this game. But if you really look at the way the defense played early on in the game, they gave up that field goal early. Then they forced a turnover on the next drive. Then they started giving it up like they couldn't stop anybody. But when it got late in the game, they were making big stops. They made a big stop when Dallas had the ball right about midfield. And I think, you know, it looked like Dallas was going to be able to get a field goal.
At the end of the game, right?
At the end of the game, yeah. I mean, they made a huge stop right there. I didn't think they had it in them.
That's true. I mean, both teams had at least one chance each with less than 4 minutes left. I mean, basically, you get the ball, you drive down a little bit, kick a field goal, run out the clock, and you win the game.
Yeah.
And neither team could do it.
Neither team could do it. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that the offense had its moments and looked good at times, which, I mean, they looked a lot better than they did against San Diego, so that's promising, right? And so, but it's just like, okay, to finish on the offense, we have these wide receivers. They're great. They make great plays. However, they haven't taken over any games yet this year. They basically underachieved from what our expectations have been this season. They really have. And I don't know if they'll ever put it together this season. We're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. I mean, you look at what Sanders did. I mean, Sanders first play of on offense, or one of the first plays on offense, beautiful pass over the middle to Sanders that he once again drops, and then he gets injured on the same play. So here's a guy who has trouble holding onto the ball, and he has injury problems, and all in one play we get all of that in one play. You know, I thought Antonio Brown had a really good game. I thought his presence was felt out there. For the first time in weeks, you know, coming off of that injury. But, you know, as many good things as he did, that fumble absolutely killed the momentum. You know, you talk to a Steeler fan, every, you know, 10 out of 10 Steeler fans will tell you, we were going to score again on that next drive if he doesn't fumble. They were going to score again. No doubt about it.
Yep, they had the moment. Now, was that about 10 minutes left?
It was midway through the fourth quarter just about.
I mean, I almost believe even if they don't, you know, if they three plays and punt it down to the 15 or 20, they're still in good shape.
Yeah.
With a 7-point lead.
You know, the problem.
That was tough because Brown, I mean, it's hard to come down on him. He's got to be smarter and just understand to protect the football. But the guy's just out there trying to make a play. And he's really he's close to returning that. I mean, the reason why he fumbles is because he's looking where to run next instead of protecting the football.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the problem with this team, Tomlin said it today, you know, everybody wants to point their finger at the defense and we can't get pressure on the quarterback, we couldn't cover anybody. Both of those things are true. But I think ultimately what cost us this game were the turnovers. The Steelers have lost the turnover battle. I believe they've lost a turnover in every game since Kansas City. I believe that that's true. I have to look that up. But we've lost the turnover battle for six straight games. I have to look up the Baltimore game.
That might be right. It's tough to overcome. And I noticed that they didn't have any penalties in this game. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say if the Steelers have no turnovers in the next two games, they will win both games easily.
I think that's absolutely true. Joe, any thoughts on the play of the offense or the wide receivers?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're the bottom line is that when your star players, the guys that win you the games, Brown and Ben, which is the point I was getting to earlier, when they crack in the clutch, you got no chance. And that's what happened. You know, Brown cracked and Ben cracked and you lose. Those are the guys you look to that are going to make the plays that are going to win you the game. The ball is in their hands where it needs to be, and they turn it over.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with this team, but there is an absolute lack of discipline on the team. I'm not making summary judgments yet, but I'll tell you I'm heading in that direction. I'm waiting for the whole season to be over, put a little bow on it, and put it into the history books. This was the entirety of the 2012 season. And when that's done, if it's sitting just like it is right now, this team has a lack of discipline. That's what we've witnessed this year. I've never seen it. I've never seen a Steeler team like this. I don't care. You can go back to those 80s teams with Chuck Knoll. They were at least disciplined teams. The kind of crap that's going on here never used to go on with Steeler teams.
Well, let me say this.
And I want to address your locker room before you say anything else. You talked about, you know, what's going on in the locker room and you know, what's going on the field is now going into the locker room. No, I think it's – I think what's been going on in private in the locker room, okay, this little undercurrent of I don't like this, I'm unhappy, okay, I don't like the way things are going, I didn't get my way, I think that has bled onto the field, okay, and now it's bubbling over into the media. That's what's happening. That's what's been happening all year. It's the only thing that explains all of the undisciplined play that we've seen. And as far as the whole throw style points out the window, that's what I've been telling you for years. You cannot survive that way. It's okay to say, hey, you know what? Whenever we screw up, we're never out of it. We can still win. But you can't screw up every single week for years and think, well, we're just going to keep winning anyway, even though we screw up. It catches up with you. Welcome to a 500 team. This is what it looks like.
Mike, do you think this has to do – you know, we talked about before the season started the loss of Hines Ward, the loss of James Ferrier, the loss of Aaron Smith, the loss of real leaders on this team. You know, I look back at the 2006 season after Bettis retired. We went 8-8 that year, and certainly it seemed like the team lacked enthusiasm. It lacked a lot of deficiencies. Do you see some of that in this year's team? Is it lacking leadership in the locker room?
There may be something to that. I was just thinking that just with the wide receivers and thinking, gee, is this Hines' first year out? And it is. Because the wide receivers seem to make the bonehead plays every now and then. And maybe they miss having a guy like Hines around to remind them of, I don't know, the little things.
Yeah.
You know, or that things don't come easy unless you work hard. And, you know, even though you were successful last year or last week, it's not just going to come easy again this week. I mean, it seems like that they're just out there trying to be stars. I mean, even I see that a little bit in Antonio Brown. I mean, he made three mistakes in this game.
Yeah.
Between the fumble and not fielding a punt. And he fumbled another punt too, didn't he? And they got it back.
And it went out of bounds, yeah.
Yeah, and then he ran out of bounds when we're trying to kill the clock.
Yeah.
Like on that, whatever it was, 3rd and 29 or something.
It was.
On a screen pass at the end of the game.
A lot of mental mistakes. I mean, that's really been the story of the second half of the season, has just been mental mistake after mental mistake, not only by the wide receivers, but by a lot of people on both offense and defense.
And then we heard a little bit of, last week before the San Diego game, some of these guys weren't focused and stuff. And maybe if you have the veterans like James Ferrier and Hines Ward around, that stuff doesn't happen. I don't know.
Joe, thoughts on the leadership problem?
I mean, I've said that, you know, that's kind of what I was getting at. It's an undisciplined team. The leadership, there is leadership. Make no mistake, there are leaders on this team. They're just, the problem is that they don't instill the values, the ethics, the mentality. They don't instill that on the younger players, on the players that are following them. There's just a lack of character there, I think. Especially on the offensive side of the ball. If you look at who the obvious leaders of the offense should be, they leave quite a bit to be desired.
Well, okay. I mean, I think, I think if you look at the offense, who are the leaders, right? It's got to be Heath Miller and it's got to be Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think, I think Heath Miller, you got to wonder about how vocal Heath Miller is in the locker room, because he seems like a very quiet guy. Certainly he's very soft spoken. You know, what struck me about this game, and I don't know if you guys want to get to this Ben stuff right now, but what really struck me after this game was the contrast between what was said by Ben Roethlisberger after the game and what was said by Heath Miller after the game. And those are the two leaders on offense, right? Those are the two veteran guys on offense. Been here the longest. Ben Roethlisberger said about not getting Heath Miller the ball, we just didn't call the right plays. I wasn't happy with the play calling. I was frustrated that I didn't get to call more plays in the no huddle, okay? When Heath Miller was asked after the game, what did you think about your second half? Why didn't you get the ball more in the second half? He said, yeah, it's a little bit frustrating, but I understand it. It's just how the game goes, right? You want to talk about your two leaders there. One guy is throwing the friggin' offensive coordinator under the bus, saying, I didn't like this offense. I didn't like the play calling, to the media. The other guy is saying, you know what? That's just the way it goes. Is it frustrating for me to not get catches? Sure, but it's the way the game goes.
It just sounds immature on Ben's part. I mean, I don't care if he really feels that way. You just don't say it to the media. Yeah. Do what Heath Miller said. I mean, we don't know how Heath Miller really feels. He might be pissed at Ben for not throwing the ball for all we know because he didn't tell us anything.
Right.
That's what you're supposed to do. Don't tell the media anything. And so, you know, Tomlin had to cover it up today and say he was just frustrated and we talked today and everything's cool.
Yeah, Tomlin tried to say, hey, you know, everything's cool. I talked with Ben yesterday. You know, he's still on board with what we're doing. But, you know, you listen to guys like Jerome Bettis, who this week said, look, Ben was so pissed after they got rid of Bruce Arians that it didn't matter who was going to come in. You know, people say, well, it's the personality clash of Todd Haley versus Ben Roethlisberger, and they just were never going to mesh. Bettis says, no. Anyone you brought in after Arians wasn't going to mesh with Roethlisberger because he took that personally, the fact that they fired Arians, and he was so pissed, this was never going to work in the first place. You know, coming from Bettis, a guy who was around Roethlisberger for as long as he was, I think that speaks volumes about the character of Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I mean, that may have been how he felt at the time. And, I think he got over that, though, knowing that, hey, if he's going to be successful in this league, he's got to do something with the new offensive coordinator, whoever that may be. And it was working for a while. And, you know, even in this game, I mean, what was he, like 13 of 16 in the second half?
I mean, that, you know, what's shocking to me is how upset Roethlisberger was after the game about the play calling in the second half when I thought the offense was really ticking. And if you wanted to point any fingers on the offensive side about why the offense didn't put up more points in the second half, I think you'd have to go straight to the offensive line and say, yeah, you know, they had some real problems pass protecting, especially in the fourth quarter on those last couple of drives. I mean, Ben was under pressure constantly on both of those drives. I don't think it was a play calling issue. And when he talks about I wanted to have the no huddle more because I get to call the plays and all that BS. You know, number one, we were running the no huddle in overtime when he threw the interception. And number two, this idea that I want to call the plays, I mean, that says everything you need to know right there about his relationship with Todd Haley.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. Hopefully they kiss and make up.
Joe, what do you think?
I honestly don't like thinking about this stuff. I mean, it's not football, man. And I mean, it's one of the reasons I've been a Steeler fan for so long. Because we don't have this crap. I can't stand it. It's not good for football. It's not good for talking about football. It's not good for the team. It's not good for winning. It serves no purpose whatsoever. And it's just this whole – it's the way the NFL is now, you know, where the player – it's getting like basketball, where the player can fire a coach. You know, it's retarded.
It's
terrible. There was no – Terry Bradshaw could not stand Chuck Knoll. Couldn't stand him. Okay, I don't know that those two guys spoke after they weren't Steelers anymore. But they won four Super Bowls together, and you know what? They didn't do it Terry Bradshaw's way. They did it Chuck Knoll's way, and he's the only coach that ever won four Super Bowls as a coach. So I think the way to do it is you go with the guy that you hired. Okay, to run the team. The guy you hired to run the team is Mike Tomlin. Okay, so Mike Tomlin needs to instill his will on his quarterback. Get his ass in line and put this crap behind us. The team will never win unless it has one singular direction with 53 guys all rowing the boat exactly the same way at exactly the same time.
But that's okay? not the modern
one
NFL.
Guy off the reservation, you either get him back on the reservation or you get him the hell out of your midst.
All right.
And that's how I see it.
You say you don't want to talk about this. Let's move on. Let me ask you guys, because you're both like Dwyer and Redmond.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a running game for, it seems like, 3 weeks now, and they've been the running back. So what do you think of it? I mean, what's going on there?
I mean, we really haven't had a running game. I mean, I think there's like a lot of misconception about the running game because, you know, I don't think we had a running game for a long time this season. And, you know, it came and then it went again. And I think you can draw a straight line between when the running game was bad and then when it was good and then it was bad again. And I think it all comes down to Mike Adams. Yeah, I know it's, you know, it's stupid to talk about one guy. Can he change the entire running game? But in this case, Mike Adams is a great run blocker. And when he got hurt, you know, the running game basically went away, but it wasn't there in the beginning of the season either. So I'm not displeased with what I'm seeing from the running game. I think that Haley is finding, you know, some interesting ways to get running yards. I like the way he used Rainey in the game. I liked seeing Rainey in there, especially out of the shotgun. I mean, this was very much a matchup thing. You know, Dallas had a lot of cornerbacks hurt, and so, you know, they were using the shotgun a lot and spreading this team out and trying to get more nickel formations, and then running out of that draw, you know, running out of the shotgun with that draw play. And I think overall, you know, I wasn't displeased with the running or the way that they were running. I think Dwyer runs hard. I think Redmond runs hard. I'm glad to see Redmond wasn't hurt. And I like the increased use of Rainey, especially, in those draw plays where they can get him maybe in some open space. I'm still convinced he's going to break one at some point.
Yeah, I'm hoping also. So, Mendenhall's going to be active this week, or at least, back on the team. Yeah. I don't know if he'll be active.
He will not be. I'm going to doubt he's going to be
active. You don't think he'll be
active? No.
So do you think he should be, or would you like to see him in the game at all?
No. I think, you know, when you basically quit on your team like Mendenhall did, you know, what happened with him is he was told he wasn't going to play against San Diego. This is the second week in a row he's going to be deactivated. He decided not to show up for the game. You know, that's basically quitting on your team. No, I think his days as a Steeler are pretty much over. And I think that's, you know, that's certainly a pity for him, because I think he has a ton of talent, and I think Todd Haley would probably be able to use that talent to great benefit. But he doesn't fit in right now, because, you know, number one, you know, he's still coming back from that ACL, and number two, he's got attitude problems, and we can't, you know, we got enough on our plate right now as far as attitude stuff goes. That I honestly, when the Steelers announced that they were keeping him on the team, I was kind of surprised. I thought he might get cut. And I think that the only reason he didn't get cut was because the salary cap ramifications of cutting him now and not just waiting until the end of the season.
And the other thing is, when we lose him as a free agent, we might get like a third round draft pick. Right. Compensatory.
Yeah.
Joe, do you agree with that? You don't want to see Mendenhall?
Yeah, I'm done with Mendenhall.
I actually would not mind seeing him in this Cincinnati game, maybe on third downs instead of Rainey. That's why I'm bringing it up, because you're kind of high on Rainey, and I've been high on him the whole season. And I'm thinking on a third down, you know, swing pass, would you rather see Rainey or Mendenhall?
I don't know. I feel like, do you feel like Rainey is getting better as he goes, or are you kind of, you know, moving on from Rainey?
I'm not moving on, but I just think that I've seen what I'm going to get from him. He really needs open space to do anything big, because when he gets hit, he goes down. I mean, if you can't get him open space, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's been hard. I mean, like guys like Percy Harvin and stuff, that you get them the open space and they do stuff with it. And I don't know why we can't get him open space.
Yeah. I don't know. Joe, any thoughts on Rainey?
I mean, I'm not really a big fan of his, but I agree with what Mike is saying. They need to open space for him, and our line can't open space; it just can't do it.
Yeah.
So the running game is lackluster. There's really nothing to it. It's either Dwyer or Redmond, you know, bounce outside, you know, after half the defense is committed to stopping a hole or to filling a hole, and then they bounce or cut back, and then they run over a couple of guys and they're hard to bring down. And that's been the totality of the running game for the entire season. It's not really a pounding, pulsating, consistent running game. It's inconsistent because there's no offensive line to run behind.
I'm excited to see if Mike Adams, you know, Tomlin announced today that Mike Adams is probably going to return to practice this week. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to play, but if it does mean he's going to play, I'm excited to see what that means for the offensive line. You know, since he's been gone, I think, you know, we've seen two things, right? We've seen clearly a decline in the running game, but we've also seen a more consistent pass protection. Now, certainly not perfect by any stretch, but more consistent. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what happens when he gets back. and how that changes this offense. You know, the offensive line has obviously benefited from Todd Haley's increased use of short passes and quick passes and those timing routes that we're running, you know, to get the ball out of Ben's hand quick. But I want to see I do want to see Adams back in there. Nothing against what Beecham has done. I think Beecham has played really, really well. And I don't know if you guys noticed DeCastro played this week. I thought, you know, outside of some weird mental errors he made early in the game, I thought he played relatively well, especially for his first start in the NFL after coming off of that crazy knee injury that he had. Number one, awesome to see this guy get playing time his rookie year. I think we all expected he was probably done for the year. And you know, this is the future of the offensive line now. So nice to see him in the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely promising. I mean, Tomlin said both him and Beecham played pretty well in the game. So that was good to hear. I think that, you know, the frustrating thing to me for the running game is, and we talked about him, we want to see a lot of running and five-yard runs and get these third shorts. And that is the problem because they can't get anything consistent. I really think it hurts the passing game and it hurts this Haley offense. I think that it counts on the running game, and I think he ends up giving up on it. And I almost can't blame him. I mean, I started thinking, like, you know, against Cincinnati, if we can't get a run going, we might just be better passing on every single down. I don't know. But it just seems like that the run sets up a lot of those passes. Like the deep pass to Mike Wallace, was that a play action? I can't remember.
But I have to say about his play calling in this game, I was glad to see that we weren't just going to continue to rely on, you know, the dink and dunk stuff. You know, he was more than happy to go deep. And you know, they did a lot of collapsing the box, Dallas did. And I was excited to see that we were back to using our deep threat and that, hey, it's, you know, Ben actually hit Wallace on a deep ball and Wallace caught it and it was a huge momentum changing play, you know, that tied up the game again. So, yeah, I mean, I think Todd Haley, I'm not disappointed anyway in Todd Haley's offense. Remember now, this is year one. You know, this is year one of the Todd Haley offense. The Ken Whisenhunt offense was not perfect year one. The Mike Mularkey offense was not perfect year one. The Todd Haley offense is not perfect, but I think it is. It's fine. You know, I think he's figuring out how to use these guys and how to make this offense move. Especially coming off of last week when you thought what happened to the offense? They couldn't even get a first down. You know, now we're starting to see this thing come back again. I don't know if Roethlisberger still has any lingering issues with his rib, but Haley is still finding ways to make first downs, and that's what I like is that we're not, you know, it's not the Steeler offense used to be predictable. I don't think it's predictable anymore. I can't look at a formation and go like, oh, this is definitely a runner, this is definitely a pass. And I think that, you know, that's something that this offense dealt with for the last 4 years. So. I'm happy with it. You know, yeah, the running game's not doing well, but overall the offense is moving the football, and that's, you know, it's like Tomlin said, what was it when Willie Parker made his comment? You know, I don't walk past, you know, six rushing titles. I walk past six Lombardi trophies. The issue is not running. The issue is winning. Right. Yeah. I think it's the same thing. Although, you know, interesting that he didn't make any comments like that about Roethlisberger. You know. Interesting that in this conference, in this press conference, he didn't say anything about, you know, I don't walk past, you know, the passing titles or you know, it's not about the issue is not whether or not we run a no huddle. The issue is winning, like he did with Willie Parker, where he basically went to the media and said Willie Parker is wrong, and let me tell you why he's wrong. But Roethlisberger was basically like, no, we talked, it's cool.
Yeah. Well, hey, my new favorite play is the misdirection swing pass to the fullback. And they only did it once. It was to Will Johnson. It was like an 11-yard play. I think that's open all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your favorite play was the shotgun fake the draw quarterback run, which I thought was – I thought it might have even been a blown-up play, but it looked like from the replay. I was like, that was the design play.
But that happened twice. I mean, there was once where Ben tried to hand off and then had to just throw it out of bounds.
Oh, yeah, throw it out. That one was clearly a broken play.
And this one, it looked like he tried to get the handoff to him and couldn't. It's like, I mean, it's a stretch play that they're not on the same page. I mean, I don't know if it goes back to being sharp, discipline, or what.
Yeah.
But they look frustrated. I mean, I think that Dwyer was frustrated after that.
It did, yeah. You didn't think the draw was the Roethlisberger run was a design?
where he tried to hand off to Dwyer and he couldn't reach him and then turned around and just ran it for like 2 yards. I don't think that was by design. I could be wrong though.
Because
Dwyer looked like he went off the field pissed off.
It was out of the shotgun though, right? Wasn't that one out of the shotgun?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
I mean, we want to get the big picture, but let's talk a little bit about the defense.
Oh, yeah. We got to
start off by saying, I mean, you had these young guys out there that 21 and 35. I mean, they have very little playing time. I mean, if they were on rosters at the beginning of the season.
They were not.
And they played a lot, and bless their hearts, man. They're out there trying to make a name for themselves, playing their butts off, but they're getting burned at times, missing tackles, and it hurt the Steelers. Granted that they got their feet wet, played okay at times.
You know,
but I think that was the difference, you know, for the defense. I mean, I wanted to come down hard on the defense, but it's hard to when you got cornerbacks that haven't played.
Joe, you told me after the game that it was basically like watching the JV squad Steeler secondary out there.
Well, I mean, what I was saying, I mean, the context of that was that I'm listening to these media guys talking about the game. And a couple of media guys said, hey, Steelers lost the game, which I think the Cowboys outplayed the Steelers. But in the end, the Steelers blew it. They had the game. They could have won it, and they blew it. The Cowboys didn't take it from them. Cowboys didn't take it to them in the end. The Steelers gave it to the Cowboys in the end. But one of the reasons that the Cowboys played better than the Steelers did, or at least it looked that way, is they were talking about how Romo really stepped up his game, and I'm going, you know, this guy is throwing to NFL receivers who are playing guys literally off the street, for God's sakes, and you're just totally discounting that. What happens when he's got to throw into an all pro secondary? Or into just your starting run of the mill cornerbacks in the NFL. So I didn't think it was a commentary on Romo's newfound ability and him stepping it up in December. I didn't see it that way. And by the same token, you can't judge our defense based on this game because everybody was playing a different role to make up for what was going on with, you know, third and fourth string, cornerbacks. I really don't have anything to say about the defense. Our defense didn't play last week.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Knowing that Keenan Lewis and Cortez Allen were just saying that they should be back next week, starting cornerbacks, because Ike Taylor I think will still be out.
Ike is hurt, yeah.
How do you feel about the defense going into that game against Cincinnati?
I have 100% confidence in the ability of our new guys, Keenan and Cortez. I have no reservations about their ability to take out any receiver in this league. The big question mark is, are they going to be allowed to play tight man to man, or are they going to be asked to pick up zone responsibility? They're not very good at zone. They're excellent at man to man. If we play zone, I think Andy, whatever his face is over there, I think he's going to have a nice time of it because that's what NFL quarterbacks are bred to do from the time they're born. Man, they can throw a zone, they can read a zone, they know the hot receivers, they know where to go in a zone against the blitz. They can just do that in their sleep. Okay, what they can't do is choose which of my guys has beat the other guy. Which one? I got to look. I got to scan the field. If you watch Tony Romo last week, he stared down 35's receiver almost every time he threw the ball. You could just watch. I got to tell you, by about halfway through the third quarter, I was just watching Tony Romo's head on every play. I just watch his head, and his head would just go right to where he's going to throw the ball, usually to 35's guy, and normally is wide open by 5 or 6 yards.
Yeah.
What was Keenan Lewis playing? I mean, he was on Dez Bryant the whole time. So
pretty much. But
he wasn't really playing tight or man to man, though. He was just lined up with them because I saw him playing off a lot.
They were running a little bit of man to man. It seemed like they were running man to man with safety help because they were giving up runs because, you know, Clark was nowhere to be found against the run. And so they were giving up these weird running plays. I'm really going to have to go back and watch the coaches show to figure out what exactly they were doing. because it, yeah, it did seem like they were playing man to man, but playing way off. Like Victorian was playing, and this is not, I'm not exaggerating here. He was playing like 15 yards off the ball, which is
insane. There was a play where he made the stop. They had to go 10 yards. He lined up 15 yards off the ball.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, his receiver, the Dallas receiver, runs a 9-yard pattern.
Right.
Okay. And he's able to actually be there in time to make the tackle at 9.5. Dallas punts the ball, and I believe that's when Brown has the big return and fumbles it.
Right. Yeah, crazy. You know, here's a funny quote from me. I'm trying to find the exact quote. I can't find it here. But Victorian had a quote after the game, which I believe he said something like to the effect of, "Yeah, I really started to get the hang of it in the second half." Like, what? You guys started to get the hang of it in the second half? You're a professional football player, man. I need you to have the hang of it the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I would argue his second half. It was in the second half he was playing 15 yards off on a third and 10.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to blame him. I mean, we don't know what the defense was. And, I mean, that guy's out there. He is trying to figure out the game. I mean, he's never played before in the pros, in the real game, I don't think.
Yeah, no,
I'm not necessarily criticizing him.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, you said it earlier, Mike. I agree with you. I mean, I'm sure the guy played his heart out. I mean, he played, you know, he played above himself probably. And if he was lined up 15 yards off, it's because Dick LeBeau told him to line up 15 right. yards off. So I don't doubt any of that. I'm just saying that this is not a defense. This is a Band-Aid to get through a week.
It was the third preseason game, so it was fine. We didn't even need the win. We got young guys some playing time.
Well, you know, as long as we're talking about the corners or secondary guys who had bad games, let's talk about Robert Golden, number 21, for a second. Because that touchdown pass to Jason Witten, I've never seen a defender be so, like, deer in headlights, flat-footed as he was on that play. I don't even know that he moved after the ball was in the air. He had idea what was going on.
Clark came up to, like, stop the run, and Clark let Witten go right by him. And it seemed like on purpose.
Right.
Because, and then Clark kind of looked back like, you're supposed to be there and you're not there. I don't know. I mean, at first it looks like Clark made the mistake, but I don't think so. I think that it was just he never moved over.
Yeah, and I still maintain that this defense would be better off if Will Allen were out there and not Polamalu. But you know, it does seem to me that certainly later in this game that they were putting Polamalu in not so much the Polamalu mode, but giving him a structured role to play in this defense. And they really had to, considering that they were playing with so many guys who are playing their first meaningful minutes in a football game. You know, Curtis Brown, Josh Victorian, and Robert Golden all had to play meaningful minutes. And, you know, in their on the road against the Cowboys team that likes to throw, you know, I still would love to see – much like last season when we beat New England, that game against the Giants instilled so much confidence in me about the capabilities, the potential of this Steeler defense. But at this point, you have to wonder if that's ever coming back again.
I know, and this is what I don't get, because you said, I mean, if you're playing man-to-man with safety help, you should be playing as tight can be, meaning if you beat me deep, I don't care because I got help over the top. So I'm not gonna letting you catch anything short.
Right.
I'm in your pocket the whole route.
Right.
And so I didn't see that from Keenan Lewis in this game. I don't know.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, he didn't play most of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I didn't see. I've seen that from him in previous games.
Right.
And we haven't seen it in a few weeks, so I don't know what's happening. And the whole Polamalu thing. I mean, at the beginning of the game, it seemed like he was in standard safety mode.
Right.
Playing over the top and not doing the Polamalu thing, which. You know, he probably had to do.
Yeah,
he had to play it that way. It
seemed like they had to do it that way. Yeah. You know who else kind of no-showed this week that I was a little bit, and maybe it's because he's just coming back from injury. But man, oh man, where was Lamar Woodley in this game?
Yeah,
he's
got to be because he's coming back.
It's got to be because he was an absolute no-show. And here's a guy who a year ago we thought was he was becoming the man on the team. You know, he's like the best player on the defense. You know, he's better than Harrison now. Ultimately he could be better than Harrison as a career. And this guy, what happened?
I mean, you gotta think that he's gonna do better next week. Harrison is really coming on. I mean, he forced that fumble and he's coming on. And then with the two cornerbacks coming back, granted, they have A.J. Green. Is that his name, A.J.?
A.J. Green, yep.
A.J. Green. If they can figure out a way to play him man-to-man and someone over the top or just double-team him or something to shut him down, maybe that you put Cortez Allen and the safety on him the whole time and let Keenan Lewis take out the other guy one-on-one. I don't know. But if they could do that, that'll be a good chance to win.
Well, I don't – yeah. Well, you know, we'll get to that preview in a second. All right, let's talk about – you guys want to talk about big picture or you want to talk about the playoff picture before we get into Cincinnati, or do you want to talk about Cincinnati and then the playoff picture?
Let's do Cincinnati first.
Yeah. Hey, can I want to say one last thing. Yeah. I'm the one who just asked to move on. The Steelers have played three overtime games since the new rule. And in those three games, they have totaled 9 plays from scrimmage. Is that odd or what?
Peter King would be outraged right now. Well, the Steelers have not gotten their fair ups. It's weird.
In all the games, we got a fair up. No, not the first game. So Denver was a one-play game, right? We all remember that. And then Kansas City was only 4 plays also. And then this game was only 4 plays. Isn't that strange? That's going to be an all-time record. It'll never get beaten for one team. All right, let's move on.
Wait, we didn't get our fair ups against Denver.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
But we did in the other two games.
In the other games, oh, yeah, we got an interception, and then we threw an interception. Yeah. You know, these new overtime rules, man, you know, I'm just thinking, oh, we can get a touchdown, and we can win this game and don't have to worry about anything. Friggin' Ben throws a pick in overtime. Like, that's so uncharacteristic of him.
I know, you know? And I liked how when we won the toss, and I don't know if you guys saw it, Ben, they looked at Ben, what do you want to do? And he just points at himself, give me the ball.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? I'm going to score.
I don't,
anyway.
Like, he comes out of...
He should be that way. You want your quarterback to be that way.
No, yeah, you do.
I liked it.
But what I also want my quarterback to do is when he throws the ball so far behind Wallace that only the defender can catch it, I don't want him to come out after the game and go, yeah, it was a play calling. We just called some bad plays. What?
Right, we talked about that already.
Yeah, okay.
Talking about, I know, but I'm just going to bring it up one more time.
Cincinnati.
All right, Cincinnati. Well, you know, I mean, look, Cincinnati's a good team. And, you know, they are surging right now where the Steelers are kind of floundering. They're a team that has won how many straight now? Okay, they lost to Dallas. But they've won 5 of 6 where we've lost 4 of 5. So certainly teams at the crossroads here. You know, this is it for the Steelers. I mean, this is the playoff game. And if you're, you know, when you think about what you want your team to be facing going into the playoffs, I do like the idea of the Steelers having a playoff game this week. I like the idea that the Steelers, basically the playoff starts now for them, that they're going to have to play 2 playoff games just to get in. You know, we saw that in 2005 when Cowher got that team to after they lost to Cincinnati actually that year. They beat Chicago, they beat a bunch of teams going to the playoffs, then went on to shock the world and win the Super Bowl. I don't know, what do you guys think about this season? I mean, is it possible that the Steelers can turn this one around against Cincinnati?
Yeah, it's possible.
But is it?
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to get – every week I come on here and go, okay, well, you know, this is – the Steelers going to turn around next week. This last one was just a fluke. Well, yeah, I mean, the Steelers got to – you know, it's time to shut up and let the Steelers do the talking, you know, because they haven't shown anybody anything this year. It's been a long time since they've played an impressive game. And the games that you're impressed with – the Giants managed to put up 0 this week. What's the other one that you always talk? Oh, the Ravens. You know, the Ravens probably aren't going to win another game this year.
Certainly.
What are the other good teams we beat? I don't even know. Philadelphia? The Jets?
Oh, hey, now hold on. I've heard this. Okay, this is weird. I've heard this. I've heard that. Who did the Steelers really beat this year? Did you know we have the best strength of victory in the AFC?
I don't know how. I mean, when you look at the Steelers' schedule, it's been an easy schedule.
I know how.
We haven't played anybody.
No, we have like the third toughest schedule in the AFC. Yeah, we have like the third or fourth toughest schedule in the AFC.
Because we played Baltimore twice, and that's 18 wins.
And then, oh no, actually, we don't. We have an easy schedule in the AFC. Okay, but Here's how we get such a great Denver victory. Also. It's because we didn't beat any of the crappy teams we played. See, we don't – you don't want to mire your strength of victory by having beaten teams like Oakland and Tennessee. Like, that just screws everything up. You don't want to beat Oakland or Tennessee or Cleveland. You lose.
So every team we beat is like at least close to a 500.
That's right. You got to beat only, you know, the fact that we beat Kansas City in overtime was probably a mistake for our strength of victory. You know, strength of victory gets you in the playoffs. It gets you in the playoffs. You know, that's one of the reasons why we would have beaten Cincinnati via tiebreaker if we lose them. I mean, well, obviously this is long gone now, but let's say we had beaten San Diego and Dallas and still ended up in the tiebreaker with Cincinnati. We could have beaten them on strength of victory. So it doesn't matter. It's weird.
All right. Anyway. We still do. We'll get to that later. Anyway,
that's right, we do. We still do, actually. That's right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to this game.
I like what Joe said there. I mean, it is tough to come on here every week and say, "Oh, this is going to be the week. This is going to be the week." I mean, it's all there. They have the players. They have the coaches. It can be done. They've done it during spurts this season here and there. They basically underachieved the whole year. So, as fans, we're hopeful that they'll turn it around this week. And the following week, and the following week in the playoffs, and it'll be a nice thing. But it's, you know, it's crazy to believe it's going to happen. But it is Christmas time, so.
Okay, well, let me ask you this: are they a better football team than Cincinnati?
I mean, they have better players, better talent, but a better team, meaning, you know, discipline and all that, and not making mistakes. I don't know.
Joe, let me ask you this. If you had to bet the house this week, right, you have to bet the house on Steelers and Cincinnati. Straight up. Win the game. Who you got?
I'm not betting my house on the Steelers at this point. I would have. Had you asked me that question maybe 2 weeks ago, yeah, I'd bet everything I own. The Steelers take out the Bengals in Cincinnati and in Pittsburgh with two games left in season and playoff implications involved. Division title involved, et cetera. I'd say no way the Steelers leave that one. But this is not the same Steeler team that we thought it was. All right, look, when I came on here every week these last few weeks during all these losses, and I said, well, you know, they lost to San Diego because San Diego had nothing to lose, and all these cockamamie stories that I came up with, I wasn't making that up. I really believed that. I really believe the Steelers are a good team. Okay. But you know something? When you continuously show me how you can lose a game, okay, how you can come up small in big situations, my faith in you is gone. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I want you guys to win. I think you can win, okay, but you need to show me something. And you haven't shown me anything for a really long time.
I think I hear what you're saying, because I was gonna question you, because after the San Diego game, you were optimistic and said that was kind of a fluke, and you gave us the reasons why they lost to San Diego or played a crappy game. And then going into Dallas, I mean, you're playing with this secondary that you call the JV, right? So, you know, why do you put any weight into this game? Why don't you feel the same way? But you just pointed out why. Had the Steelers lost because Tony Romo lit up the defense and scored 35 points and we just couldn't keep up, that's one thing. But when you give your playmakers, like you said, Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, a chance to win the game at the end of the game, and they don't come through, it doesn't matter if the game has no meaning. It doesn't matter that, you know, how good or bad Dallas is. I mean, they had the chance there, and they didn't prove it. So I could see why you don't have any – or you're losing faith in them.
Yeah, I've lost faith in this team. And I'll say right now, I'll just do my score prediction right now. And this is not – and I'll tell you this right now. This is not a Tony picks them to lose because when he picks them to lose, the Steelers win pick. This is a Tony picks them to lose because Tony really thinks they're going to lose this week. I'm predicting the Steelers to lose this week, and I think it's going to be a bad game. There's going to be booing going on at the stadium. This is a team that is falling apart, and it starts with – look, it starts with Mike Tomlin. You know, Tomlin can talk – you know, it has always been a team of style points don't matter. You know, we just got to win. Winning is the problem. And I believe in that, and he believes in that, and I think – and the team believed in that at one point. But I don't – I can't put my finger on exactly what happened and when this thing went awry. I think it has to do with Ben Roethlisberger and his attitude on that offense. But this has been a season mired in – off the field BS. Will Ben and Haley get along? I don't know. But it's, you know, but it's all of a sudden coming apart. Will Mike Wallace sit out the entire training camp? Will he sign at all? Yes. Then we get in the middle of the season and he's playing like crap and we're, and now he's talking about how he can't, I lose concentration at times. I just get frustrated when they don't throw me the ball and all this BS. Then you have Mendenhall, absolutely no show to a game and gets suspended. This is a team in complete and total disarray. And when you look back now, you know, hindsight is 20/20. And now when I go back and I look at the loss to Baltimore and the loss to Cleveland and the loss to San Diego and then the loss this week, you know, we can go back and we can and at the time you can make all these excuses for why they lost. But those excuses don't matter. This is not – the problem with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now is not injuries. The problem with the Steelers right now is not play calling. The problem with the Steelers right now is the mentality of that team is not about winning football games. It's about pointing fingers. It's about being frustrated because I'm not getting what I want. I'm Mike Wallace and I'm not getting thrown enough. I'm Rashard Mendenhall and I'm not getting put in the game when I want to be put in the game. And I'm Ben Roethlisberger and I don't get to call the plays. That's the mentality of this football team. Tomlin has basically lost this team right now. And I don't even know if he could have – I don't know that he could have saved it after he made the decision – to fire Bruce Arians, because I think we all thought that that was the right decision to make. But this team is gone. The team that we all think can go 9-7 doesn't exist. This team is you know, the idea that this team is going to go from all the BS we've experienced over the last 5 weeks to now making a playoff run or a Super Bowl run, I mean, that's fantasy land at this point. The Steelers lose this game like 27-10. It's a laugher for Cincinnati. And you know, you look at a team in Cincinnati that does look like a playoff team. The Steelers are a team that looks like a team that will be watching it from home in January.
Wow. Man, that hurt.
Man. A stinger from Tony.
Sorry. I'm sorry, but I've been waiting all podcast to say that.
Well.
Go ahead,
Mike,
Joe.
Do you want to take that, Mike?
I'd like you to go next. I'd like to go last.
All right. You can go last. I have to tell you, Tony, that I'm not far off of where you are. You know, I told you before the podcast, I said, you know, I'm very melancholy. You know, I'm kind of trying to zen this out, this whole, and I said to you, I said, you know, I know you're going to strike a nerve with me and you're going to piss me off and I'm going to go off. And I don't feel like I'm in the mood tonight, you know, for any kind of rants or anything. I'm just kind of like, hey, Steelers lost, you know. Kind of a stupid game, whatever. There's still two to go. Maybe they're not getting the playoffs. Well, you analyze all this stuff, and you go, you know, you go back to that Cleveland game. Okay, you go back to the Cleveland game. That was really a, you know, I think in the podcast where we recap the Cleveland game, I said we're going to look back on this and we're going to say, well, either this was just some weird anomaly, and we go, man, what the hell happened there? That was sure out of place, right? Or we look back to that game and go, man, that was like an indicator of what was really going on here. And it seems more like it's an indicator of what's really going on. Because the team has not been the same since. And you could even argue that the whole thing began to fall apart with that god awful punt return in the Ravens game. And I know you guys will like argue with me about that because you hate when I pick on the special teams, even though they're guilty of everything I accuse them of and then some.
On that play, I agree with you.
But
they lost that game.
It basically went from that punt return that where they just went to sleep on the job and it cost them a game that they really could have won. And then right into the following week. 8 turnovers. Man, I don't remember watching a team. Mike will remember this. There was a time when the Cleveland Browns in the late 80s or maybe 1990, they put the ball on the ground like the first 5 times they touched the ball or something.
It was 1989. It was week one.
And Chris Berman, it was like Christmas time, right? And he sang a song. He said, oh, first play from scrimmage.
Wait. Right? You're saying Cleveland put the ball on the ground or we did?
No, Cleveland did.
Oh, you're right. That was at the end of the season, right by Christmas. And yeah. And go ahead.
And it was hysterical. And the Browns sucked. Okay. And I don't know if they sucked the whole season, but they sucked after that.
He was like on the first play from scrimmage, Cleveland gave to me. You know, right.
Fumble. And it was just, and they just kept turning the ball over. Every time they touched the ball, Steelers got it. So that's what happened. That, I mean, we kind of just reversed that whole story a couple weeks ago. So it seems to me that this team has presented itself as the team that fumbles eight times. That's the real team. And not the team that came in the following week and took out the Ravens, who the wheels have fallen off anyway. Maybe we made the wheels fall off. I'm sure we helped them along by beating them in their home stadium, you know, with our backup quarterback. The reason I'm going to depart from you a little bit, Tony, and I'm sorry I'm going long here, hopefully you find this interesting, a little bit interesting, is the Steelers, they continue to have chances to win. Maybe that's because they have so much talent on the team. But the Steelers did not fall apart like the Ravens or like the Giants. I mean, the Giants were a complete and total unmitigated disaster. The Bears have totally fallen apart. The Steelers have games won, and then they find ways to lose. I think that's more fixable than what's happening in Baltimore. I even think it's more fixable than whatever the hell's going on with the Giants. And it's going to be an interesting matchup there in the, you know, who's who of the worst teams, the worst disappointments in the league this year, the Ravens or the Giants. They play each other this week. So that should be a very interesting story to see unfold there. So I think Mike Tomlin's future, not immediate future, I'm not talking about, you know, offseason, oh man, watch out Mike Tomlin, but I'm saying I think Mike Tomlin's long-term tenure with the Steelers is on the line these next few weeks. And what I mean by that is he going to get a grip on this team or not? Failure to get a grip on the team, he's only got a couple seasons left. The Steelers will not fire him right away, but he will lose his grip on the team. They will go under 500. He will eventually have to go. He needs to get a grip on this team. He needs to get a grip mainly on Ben Roethlisberger. He's got to get that in check. If Todd Haley is his guy, then Todd Haley has to be Ben Roethlisberger's guy. It has to be that way, and it's got to come from Tomlin. There is no doubt in my mind that the Steeler front office is going to back Tomlin all the way to the Super Bowl or all the way home this year. When it comes to Steeler quarterback that's going to get their coach fired. It's not going to happen.
They could get an offensive coordinator fired though.
They
could get an offensive coordinator fired.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're right about that. I don't think that the Steeler organization allows the Indians to run the Chiefs.
Doesn't happen much in football, though.
It has happened. There are teams where it does happen, and I don't think it's going to happen here. But I think Tomlin's got to assert himself. He's a young guy, so it's harder for a young guy to do this. But he's got to do it. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's got a tough personality. He's got to apply that. I think he does. I think he's doing it now. I think he did what he had to do in front of the camera, which is the right thing to do. It's a mature thing to do. I think he's mature beyond his years. We've seen a lot of coaches make complete asses of themselves in front of the camera in situations like that. He did no such thing. He handled it just like you would want a Steeler coach to do. So now I think behind the scenes, he's got to get a grip on Roethlisberger. He has got to read him the riot act, show him the door and say, listen, you are a future Hall of Fame quarterback. Do you want to be one going in as a Steeler or some other team? Okay. Cause you are my quarterback and you're going to behave as my quarterback. He's got to do it.
Coach, let's get the score prediction.
I think he does it. Again, do it.
I thought my rant was long, but man.
I think he does it. I think he'll do it. And I think the Steelers come out. I think they do well. I think they win. I think they win comfortably 24-14.
Comfortably.
Okay.
Okay.
That's comfortable enough for me, man. Okay. Let me remind you guys of the win against Baltimore with the backup quarterback and how we came on this podcast and we were so excited about this team because we just beat a 9-2 team, if I recall. They were one of the better teams in the league at that point. And we knew we were getting Ben back. And so then we get him back and we lay an egg against San Diego and, you know, many excuses, whatever. And then we play this don't care game against Dallas. It's a don't care game. And they play pretty well with, you know, JV defensive backs. You know, they had a chance to win the game. So I got to believe, you know, with the two cornerbacks coming back and them studying or being preparing for this game for more than a week because they knew it was coming and the Dallas game wasn't as important, that they're going to be ready to go. And I believe Mr. Coach Mike Tomlin is going to unleash hell.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. I can't even believe you said that.
No.
And, why must you jinx the Steelers every week?
And, hey, did I predict an overtime game last week?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I did. Jinxed it.
Okay. He's going to unleash hell. And not only are they going to go in and beat the Bengals, but they're going to beat the Browns. And then they're going to go on and they're going to win the division because Baltimore is going to lose out. We're going to go 9-7 and be the fourth seed. And then we're going to be favored at home against Indianapolis and win that game. And then they're going to go on to Houston. It's going to be the number one seed. And we're going to beat Houston because Ben is better than Schaub. And, they're playing not as well as they were at the beginning of the season. And we're going to end up in the AFC Championship game. And when all that happens, I'm going to come on here and I'm going to say, I told you so.
We do these
predictor segments largely because Mike likes them. I mean, Mike was really the driving force behind the weekly prediction thing. And I think, Tony, if Mike is going to insist on jinxing the Steelers every single week,
we just need
to skip this segment.
I agree with you. I agree. At least there wasn't anything specific about the game.
I didn't get to that part yet.
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
You already jinxed the Steelers' run to the playoffs. We now know Baltimore will be beating the Giants this week. No doubt about it. Mark it down. And clinching the division. Now, yeah, what are you going to
do? Send your hate mail to Mike.
Yeah.
You think I'm kissing death?
Well, I don't want to go that far, but yeah. Pretty much.
I did predict the score exactly right last year at one point, I believe.
And I did lie earlier this year and say that I predicted one exactly.
That's true, and I called you out on it.
Yeah, you did.
Right. So I'm going to go – I think that the Steeler defense is going to start fast and maybe pick up – you know, have an interception or some fumble return, some type of start fast play, whether it's a return for a touchdown or return inside the 10, and get us a nice 7-point lead. And then we're just going to take it from there, man. The fans are going to be behind us. It's going to be like a playoff game. Terrible towels are going to be waving. And this game's going to end up 23-6. Defensive, huge victory, swishing with three field goals. And we're going to win comfortably.
So no booze at Heinz Field against the Steelers?
Not in this game.
All right. That's to say that we might not boo a ref or something, you know, much to my personal dismay. I hate that sort of a display, but it could happen.
Maybe I'm going to also predict a Haley Roethlisberger hug at the end.
Oh,
of the
so you've just basically.
Oh, maybe Haley will kiss Roethlisberger on the cheek.
I don't think so.
Much like Cowher and Cordell kiss.
I'm not going to go. Not really like on the first date type of thing here. Yes. Maybe in the playoffs, we see something like that.
Amazing. Okay, so let's talk about the ramifications of this game, right? When it comes to the playoffs. So if the Steelers do win, they are not guaranteed a playoff spot. If Cincinnati wins, they are guaranteed a playoff spot. Cincinnati will clinch the playoffs. In fact, it could be that the last week of the season for the AFC just comes down to seeding, and that every game in week 17 could only be for seeding every team already determined going into week 17. I believe that that is the case.
Can Cincinnati win the division?
Week 16, the
Cincinnati can win the division.
Not the seeding, but the teams, the playoff teams will have already been determined, just the seeding will remain.
Correct.
Interesting. That's only if Cincinnati wins.
If Cincinnati wins. I believe.
Well, that's boring for the NFL. So this week, the officials should be on our side, if I've read the NFL rule book correctly.
Well, they started last week, right? We had zero penalties. That's got to be a record for the Steelers.
We had zero penalties, you know, and that, you know, you talk about, you know, having the, you know, being mentally sound and all that. And it's like, yeah, they're, you know, that's a huge plus for the Steelers is not having any penalties, because Lord knows the holding and the offsides and the false start and all that killed the Steelers during this losing streak. But it didn't matter. You know, you have zero penalties and they still find a way to lose.
Usually they have 100 yards in penalties.
I know. Yeah, it's crazy. So, all right. So the Steelers, if the Steelers lose, they're out and the Bengals are in. But if the Steelers win this week, then that opens up some incredibly crazy scenarios. So the Steelers win. Now, the other games to watch in the AFC this week, if you're a Steeler fan, would be Baltimore and New York, obviously. Because as much as we as Steeler fans were upset this week about the Steelers lost, the
Giants were upset more.
Number one, the Giants were upset more, but nothing changed about, you know, if you're having conversation with your buddies about all the different playoff ramifications, nothing changed. It is the same scenarios applied that last week. If the Steelers win out and Baltimore loses out, the Steelers win the division. Now, you may be asking yourself, how is that possible? Well, they would all tie at 9-7. But when you're breaking a three-way tie for a division, it goes down to head-to-head win percentage. So because the Steelers would be 3-1 against Baltimore and Cincinnati, they would win the division based on having a better win percentage than Cincinnati and Baltimore has over Pittsburgh.
Because we would have swept
Cincinnati.
And they'd be 2-2.
Exactly. They would both be 2-2. Cincinnati would be 1-3.
No, because they would beat Baltimore in the last game.
Yeah, but they didn't sweep Baltimore.
Oh, that's true. They'd be 1-3.
They'd be 1-3, yeah.
And Baltimore would be 2-2.
Yeah. So that's a crazy way to break the tie, but it does. Now, what does that set up in the playoffs? Well, in that scenario, 1-2 seeds probably end up being Houston and Denver, as long as Denver doesn't lose one of their next two games. Now, Denver has Cleveland this week, a tough matchup, but they have that game at home. And obviously, if you saw any of that Baltimore game against the Ravens, Denver game against the Ravens, Denver looks very, very good. Then they play Kansas City. That's also a home game for them. Now, that's a division game, but Kansas City, they're one of the worst teams in football. So you got to figure Denver goes 13-3. That puts Denver as the 2 seed. That means New England is slotted in at the 3 seed, and now Pittsburgh is the 4 seed, which means Pittsburgh v. Indianapolis in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would play a home game that first weekend, wild card weekend, Pittsburgh versus Indianapolis. Obviously, the Bruce Arians thing is going to come up a lot during time, should this happen. Now, if the Steelers were to win that week, and New England were to beat Baltimore, which I guess at this point you would have to think would happen, being that Baltimore would have lost 5 straight games, totally backed into the playoffs. So New England wins, they play Denver, which means Pittsburgh goes to Houston. If Pittsburgh were to beat Houston, they would play the winner of Denver and New England, but that would then be a road game. So they would have to either go to Denver or to New England. So that's that scenario. Now, I think the more likely scenario.
Can I ask you one question on that one? Denver and Houston, 1-2 seed.
Yeah.
How can if they end up tied, let's say 13-3 each.
Right.
Who gets it?
Houston would.
Because they beat Denver.
Right.
So right. Head to head.
No, I don't know that it's. Yeah, it's head to head. Yes. When Tampa or Denver beats that head to head. Yes.
So Houston would have to lose 2. And Denver would have to win 2 for Houston to lose the number 1 seed.
Right. And Houston
they have an easy game this week, I think.
Houston plays Minnesota this week. And then they play Indy in the last week. Now Indy in that last week will have nothing to play for. In fact, Indianapolis almost has nothing to play for this week. There's no scenario in which they don't end up the 5 seed.
Yeah. Okay.
They already have 9 wins. So if they ended up 9-7 as well.
Well, Baltimore could end up 9-7.
I guess they could be the 6th seed if they were to lose to Kansas City. I mean, they play Kansas City this week. So if Indianapolis wins this week, they have nothing to play for that last week. And, of course, they probably wouldn't either. All right. that's that scenario. Now let's go to a more likely scenario. I mean, obviously winning the division is still out there, but that would involve Baltimore losing five straight going into the playoffs. One of the worst slides of any team ever. So let's say Baltimore wins a game, right? Let's say that they beat the Giants this week. If Pittsburgh beats the Bengals, and then they beat Cleveland, they would be the sixth seed. They would be 9-7. They would go to New England, and everything still applies after they go to New England. They would still face Houston in the second round, and then they would go to whoever. They would not get any home games, right? So their road to the playoffs would essentially be at New England, at Houston, at whoever wins between Denver, Baltimore, Indianapolis.
As optimistic as I was before, I think their playoff would be at New England, go home.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the and I know we're getting way in the weeds on this playoff stuff, but I do want to bring up this scenario. There is a scenario in which the Steelers can make the playoffs at 8-8.
Yes, this is my favorite one. Go ahead.
This is a great – I love this playoff scenario. I'm going to try and pull it up right here. I was sending it. I think I tweeted it today. I said, because I was looking through it. I'm like, is there a way the Steelers can make the playoffs at 8-8? Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
They have to beat Cincinnati, though.
So if the Steelers beat Cincinnati, Baltimore – so it doesn't matter. Baltimore can lose to the Giants. Doesn't matter what happens there. But the Jets can finish 8-8 as well. It doesn't matter. We don't care about the Jets because we beat them, right? But Miami has to lose to New England in the last week of the season or this week to Buffalo. Either one. Miami has to lose one game. Miami loses one game. The Steelers can beat Cincinnati and lose to Cleveland as long as Baltimore beats Cincinnati in that last week. And New England beats Miami. Then the Steelers get in 8-8 at a 6 seed, still go to New England, still play Houston in the second round, all that stuff. But if you're wondering, how much does that Cleveland game matter? It matters, but it's not impossible for the Steelers to make it.
There is one other thing to that, that if the Jets and Miami end up 8-8, and so does Pittsburgh, then Pittsburgh goes in
as well. Yeah, that's right, because the Jets eliminate Miami
first.
Yeah, Miami first, right, because they swept Miami. Okay, so that is crazy. Yeah, yes, the Steelers can lose to Cleveland and make the playoffs. Now, of course, I think we're all thinking the same thing in this scenario, which is, hey, hold on, timeout. If the Steelers lose to Cleveland, I don't want them to make the playoffs, and I agree with you. If the Steelers –
Or I'd like to see a Super Bowl team – or team win the Super Bowl with an 8-8 record? Would you like to see that?
Not exactly. Not entirely, no. So anyway, those are the playoff scenarios. That's basically the Steelers have to beat Cincinnati, and then if they were to lose to Cleveland, lots of craziness can ensue that still lets the Steelers in the playoffs. It's crazy that Miami
– Say that again? If the Steelers lose
– Yeah. To Cleveland, there are some scenarios out there
that they still
make it.
But if the Steelers lose to Cincinnati, they're out. True?
If the Steelers lose to Cincinnati, then Cincinnati clinches. Yeah, so they're out.
Yeah. And the six teams are done.
Six teams are in. Yeah. So there is your playoff picture as it stands right now. The Steelers can still win the division. They can still have a home playoff game. Obviously it's got to be – you got to consider that an outside shot at this point considering the way that they're playing. But, hey, it's possible.
Let me just ask you this. I heard this on the radio, so I'm going to kind of repeat it. Yeah. Pittsburgh is going to be favored over Cincinnati this week. True?
They are. How many points do you think they're favored by? I asked Joe.
I'm going to say 3.5.
It is a – last time I checked, it was a 4-point spread. So, yeah, close.
A little surprise. And then if they win that game, they should be favored over Cleveland, right? In the final home game, you would think. Okay, and let's just say, for chagrins, that Baltimore loses out and the Steelers actually win the division 9-7.
Right.
As I said earlier.
Right.
They would be favored over Indianapolis, right?
I would think that they would be 3.5 point favorites over Indy. I don't think the line moves much in that. in that game. You know, from the you know, Vegas gives you 3 points.
So if I told you before the season started that, hey, Steelers are in the playoffs, if they beat Cincinnati at home and they're favored, and they beat Cleveland at home and they're favored, and then their first round they get a home game against a rookie quarterback, and then you go on to Houston.
Then Houston, yeah.
Would you take that?
I'm going to put that one on Joe, because obviously I'm not the one here predicting a Steeler playoff.
And maybe you take it without seeing what really happened in the season, how we got to this point.
Well, yeah, obviously, early in the season, of course you'd take that. You know, now, I mean, you'd like to think you should.
Joe, what's the most likely scenario here? Is it the Steelers miss? Is it the Steelers win the division? Is it they sneak in as a sixth seed?
I think I kind of feel like they're going to win the division. If they beat Cincinnati, I think they can win the division.
And that's
Cincinnati will still have a chance then the following week if the Steelers lose and they win, right? So in the final week.
Yeah, actually, let's go through that. If Pittsburgh beats Cincinnati, then how does Cincinnati get in the playoffs the following week?
They get in if we lose and they win.
Isn't that what I just said?
Yeah. They get in. They don't win the division, but they get in.
Oh. Well, who wins the division?
Baltimore.
Oh.
Cincinnati can't win the division if they lose to us because they would lose the division tiebreaker. Gotcha. Too many division losses. But
they could still get in. Right.
They could still get in the playoffs, so they have something to play for that last week. And that's a
whole
really
game. For us, this week is the playoff game. For them, it's really not a playoff game.
No, they have to.
They could then get in with help. They get in with help, yeah. Uh-huh.
Wait, if they lose, they can still get in?
Cincinnati? If Cincinnati loses to us, they get in if we lose to Cleveland. And they beat Baltimore. So they would go 9-7, we would go 8-8. I know, this is all everyone's brain hurts now.
That's right.
But you know, the NFL has that, or the ESPN has that awesome playoff machine where you can play with all this stuff. But yeah, basically, if the Steelers beat the Bengals, they're not guaranteed a playoff spot. They still have to beat Cleveland, otherwise they need a lot of help to get in.
And one of the pieces of help is Cincinnati losing.
Cincinnati losing to Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, they need Baltimore's help to get in. You know, how are you going to feel in Week 17 if you're cheering for Baltimore to beat the Bengals? Like,
that's not going to happen.
Well, here's the crazy part.
I mean, they're not going to lose. They'll lose on purpose.
Right. Well, here's a crazy thing. You know, the Steelers can go from feeling like they're going to win the division to missing the playoffs, right? Because there's a scenario in which the Steelers – I'm just imagining a Week 17 right now where this is happening. The Steelers are playing a game against the Browns. It's kind of close, but they're winning, right? But the Bengals are just destroying the Ravens. And so we as Steelers fans are thinking, holy crap, we just won the division. I can't believe this. But if somehow, some way, Cleveland comes back in that game and wins, and the Bengals win, we're out. Now, all that BS about Miami doing it, da-da-da-da-da. If the Ravens lose that last week, the Steelers go from thinking they won the division to out of the playoffs if they lose that game. So that's a fun, you know. So, you know, it's like, who do you cheer for against in that Ravens versus
– that's crappy, because if the Steelers beat Cincinnati, I'm going to be so high picking that.
Right.
You know, they're at least in the playoffs and may have a chance to win the division. And then you go and lay an egg against Cleveland.
Right.
Takes it all away.
Right. Because
that would be the fitting end to the season.
Because all that other stuff, you know, that could happen. I mean, this could very easily happen where, you know, the Patriots beat Miami. Of course Patriots could beat Miami, you know, and should beat Miami late in the year.
If it's a don't care game, because Belichick always plays to win anyway.
Right. And then, they also have that thing where they can score like 600 points if they lay it on these two teams late in the season. And their two games late in the season are Jacksonville and Miami. I mean, they could lay it on these teams enough to actually get to 600 points. The most points ever scored. Yeah, it's the most points ever scored by an offense.
Is that something like their own record 2007?
I think they would break their own record, yeah. 600 points is something like 38 points a game, though. It's crazy. That Week 17 is just gonna kill me as a Steelers fan. If Steelers do beat Cincinnati this week, Week 17 is just gonna be torture to watch.
Those games have to both be on at the same time, right?
Right. The NFL does that. The NFL has it so that if there are games that matter, like if you're scoreboard watching, all those games are on at the same time. All the scoreboard watching games are on at the same time.
And there's no night game on week 17?
Week 17 will have a night game. Usually they put the game on where it's win and you're in type games.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that would be this week. Is that the Giants game against what would they play, Philly? I mean, do you really put that game on?
You put in week 17?
Yeah, week 17. Because I don't know that they can put that game on in Sunday night if the Redskins and Cowboys can still win that division.
But maybe put that game, Redskins Cowboys. Because yeah. I think it's probably Giants win and then they need help. I don't know.
Actually, if the Giants go 10-6, they're in. And then the winner of that game. I don't know why we're doing this on the podcast because it's hard to visualize this stuff, but if the Giants go 10-6, they are not guaranteed anything but a playoff spot. They are not guaranteed the division. But if Washington and Dallas both win this week and then they play each other that last week, they're playing for the division that week. One team's going to win the division. The other team is going home.
That would be the game to put on Sunday
night. That's the game to put on Sunday night. Yeah, that's crazy. But all right. Anyway. Let's do some around the NFL stuff. I guess we need to talk about Adrian Peterson and his potential for breaking the all-time rushing record. The Steelers have been down this path before when Jamal Lewis was going to break the record, was thought to break the record. He needed something like 170 yards the last week of the season. They just happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers that last week of the season. And the Steelers held him to like 110 or something, and he did not break the record. But what do you think, Mike? Does Adrian Peterson have a chance? Is he going to be the one to break Eric Dickerson's record? He's at 18. I want to say it's 1883 or something like that.
And he's like 302 games.
Yeah, he needs 302 games, so 150 a game. Can he do it?
I think he can do it. I mean, I think they're committed to him doing it. Who are the last two games?
The last two games, okay, this is crazy. Now, they play Houston this week, and then they have Green Bay.
Mm.
And they're not out of a playoff spot either.
I mean, the way that guy's running, I think he can do it. And even if he doesn't do it and he gets over 2,000, I think that he may be the pick for MVP, even over Peyton Manning. And maybe even comeback player of the year. Like, he should win both awards.
Oh, I think he might win both. I
mean, or maybe co-awards for comeback player. I could see that if they're willing to do that.
It's a crazy accomplishment to come back from an ACL like that. Not only come back from an ACL and play well, but to come back from an ACL and potentially have the greatest running back season of all time outside of O.J. Simpson's game in a 14-game season, or the season he had in that 14-game season.
2,003 yards?
Yeah, the 2,000 yards in 14 games. That's just insane. Joe? Well, I mean,
Jim Brown did 1,800 yards in, what was it, 12 games?
12 games, yeah. Yeah. Joe, what do you think? Adrian Peterson, do you think he can break the record?
Who do they play?
They play Houston. They play Green Bay.
I mean, it's not impossible, but I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no, he doesn't break? Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I'm leaning towards as well. You know, it's tough. 300 yards in two games is not an easy task against anybody. But against Houston, against Green Bay, against teams that need to win going down the stretch here to secure home field advantage, or in Green Bay's spot, you know, they still have a chance at that two seed. Man, it's going to be tough. You know, one of my favorite scenarios, Mike, this is one for you, is let's say, okay, you're Leslie Frazier, right? You're the coach, okay? There's a minute 20 to go in the last game of the season. Adrian Peterson has broken the record. He broke the record already. He has the record by, let's say, a yard, right? Now, there's a minute 20 to go, and you're just trying to run out the clock. Green Bay has all three of their timeouts. So if you get a first down, you get it. You win the game. Do you put Adrian Peterson in that position and risk him, like, getting a negative three-yard run and then losing the record?
Is this for a win to make the playoffs or just –
Yeah, let's say this is a win to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you play to win. You don't even look at the stat book.
All right, what if it's not to make the playoffs?
You say, great job, Adrian. Have a seat on the bench there. second string guy, come on in. Let's try to win this game.
Yeah.
We got the record. It'll for always be remembered. I'll be the coach, and that'll be the offensive line, and you'll have the record.
Will they remember? I mean, obviously, you think that'll get talked about? Obviously, this is a crazy scenario, but like that has to be a controversy at the end, much like the Strahan thing. You know, Strahan got the record because Favre basically let him have it.
Right, but that's not letting him have. I mean, he earns the record. I mean, I think there was a guy that like broke whatever it was, 1,000 yards. They all celebrated, and then he lost like 6 yards in the next play. He never got the ball back. You know, I think that happened. I can't remember, like in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
So, but look, you guys just said he may not. You know, 300 yards is hard to do in two games. Let me just go through his last five games. Ready? Just real quick. 171, 108. 210, 154, 212.
Right.
The guy's on fire, man.
He's gone crazy, man. Yeah, he has. The second half of the season has been incredible.
Granted,
well, take those two at a time again, because 171 and 108 does not equal 300.
You're right. But the 108 is the down one. So it's, and then after that, it's 210, 154, 212.
Yeah, you take any two of those that are not the 108, and they add up to 300. 182, 171, 108. 210.
And name the last three teams they played.
Okay, so they played Seattle, Detroit, Chicago, which is where he got the 108, Green Bay, where he got the 210, Chicago again, where he got 154, and then St. Louis, where he got 212.
It's not impossible, but
you know what's crazy about this is we talk about all the time, you know, well, the Steelers can't run because they key on the run too much, and the offensive line can't block for them. In Minnesota, all anyone ever does is key on the run. They have Christian.
Oh, Ponder. Come on! They don't come out to shut down Ponder.
I don't.
But you know that may be the problem though, because he makes like one guy miss or runs through one guy, and there's no one left.
Yeah, he's absolutely over pursuit of Adrian Peterson is a huge problem.
I mean, he's had 282-yard runs in the last 3 weeks.
He and I don't want to get into fantasy, but I'm going to because I picked him in the third round of my fantasy league. And I'm in the fantasy playoffs right now, and it's all because of Adrian Peterson. Clutch third round. No, four, I got him in the fourth round. I got Adrian Peterson in the fourth round.
That's enough of that.
Yeah, I just want to say what a clutch by me in fantasy.
I've had him the whole season in my little league that you can purchase players.
Yeah? You've had him all year? So you got him real cheap?
Yep.
Hey, man, that's money, man. That is.
And I think I mistakenly kept him through the bye week.
Really?
You got 0 points from that week. Okay, so let's move on to what are the other records going out there?
Well, there's the Patriots with 600. Now,
yeah, there's another one though.
The Patriots
passing record? Oh no, the receiving record breaking Jerry Rice's record, Calvin Johnson.
What's the receiving record? I'm not aware of this. What is the
Jerry Rice has the receiving record at like 1800, something like that.
Oh wow, yeah, he's gonna break that. Are you kidding me?
He's got a real good chance. Look up Jerry Rice's record, too.
I'm going to look it up right now. Jerry Rice's best season was 1848. Calvin Johnson has 1667. So he needs roughly 200 yards.
Yeah.
In two games.
And they haven't even had a good season.
No, the Lions have had an awful season. They're probably going to get... they're probably going to get their whole coaching staff fired. I don't see how anybody keeps their job there. They got destroyed by Arizona this week. They've lost, what, six straight? I mean, really, since that Thanksgiving game. I mean, even before that. But the Thanksgiving game was really the one where you went, what the hell is going on in Detroit? And then it's just been a nosedive since then. But if we're talking about Calvin Johnson here and breaking that record, he hasn't had less than 100 yards receiving since Seattle. That was seven games ago. Eight games ago, even. So.
He should break it.
He should break it. Let's see who their last two games are, though. I don't know if they have, maybe they have a tough schedule coming up. Let me check real quick. Their last two games are Atlanta and Chicago, both at home. That's tough. Those are two playoff teams. Well, I'm sorry, Chicago, not a playoff team, but.
That's pretty amazing. So I'm looking at the records here. So Jerry Rice is number one at 1848, and then Isaac Bruce, 1781. Charlie Hennigan, 1746. For Houston.
The advantage Johnson has is that the team sucks, so they're always playing from behind. And they're always playing,
from behind, yeah. Exactly. You know, I do want to talk. I know we've done a little bit long on the podcast, but you know, I've been having discussions all week with friends of mine about, you know, which coaches are going to get fired, and this coach, you know, I want my coach fired. This coach should get fired. You know, what? I mean, let's go through the teams real quick, coming to the, kind of the bottom of the barrel teams, and see. I want to see how many coaches you guys think are going to get fired right now. So let me go through the worst records in the NFL. We'll talk about who's going to get fired. So, Kansas City, are they getting fired in Kansas City, Romeo? 2-12?
Check.
Yes.
Yeah, Kansas City is getting fired. Okay. Jacksonville, Mark Mularkey at 2-12. They drafted Blaine Gabbert, and now they're already benching him. They're starting Chad Henne instead. Is Mike Mularkey?
Mularkey's first, second?
I think
season?
It's his first year.
I'd say no.
Maybe it's his second. I don't know.
I think Del Rio was still there last year.
Okay, so then this will be Mularkey's first year. He's probably not going to get fired after 1 year, right?
No, I say no.
I don't know what the point is. I mean,
yeah. All right, Philadelphia. They're getting. He's
going to have Tebow next year.
Andy Reid's getting fired.
The only
yes?
thing that can save him. Yes, Andy Reid.
Andy Reid is gone.
He's going to resign if he doesn't get fired.
Okay, Detroit. They're 4-10. They have lost 6 games in a row. They made the playoffs last year though, but I don't. I think he's going to get fired. I think Schwartz is gone. I don't know what you guys think.
I might give him another year.
You got to think though. I mean, if you could get any one of the names that are out there with all that talent, like a Gruden or a Cowher or someone like that, I mean, that you're probably not going to get names like that. But
yeah, man, you know, you talk about Cowher talking about I want to go to a situation that has a quarterback already, that has an established, you know, team that I can go there and, you know, lift them up. Detroit is the perfect place for Bill Cowher.
Yeah, and what about the defense they have too, or at least the defensive line?
Yeah, but I think his big thing is he wants the quarterback. He's like, I can fix the offensive line. I can fix the defense. I coached the whole career. All right, I'm gonna put a question mark next to that though. I'm gonna say maybe next. Okay, Oakland. This is their first year, but they look like one of the worst teams in football. They're also 4-10.
I think that guy's got some promise. I don't know his name. Yeah. And this is his first year, right?
This is his first year.
I'd say no. I don't know how you fire a guy after the first year. Unless there's just someone you're hot and heavy to hire that's going to be available.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with Arizona. Wisenhunt. They're 5-9, but they look pretty bad. Is he getting fired? I know you guys don't want to say yes, but he's got to get fired, right?
I think he is.
Yeah.
I already did my rant about it.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to rant again.
I mean, it just depends how much you throw into their bad quarterback situation and how much you blame that on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they had a big win this week, so that may change things a little bit. What's their record?
5-9.
5-9, and they started like 4-0, didn't they?
Yeah.
That is tough. And they beat the Patriots. Can you believe that team beat the Patriots?
They just, you know, that Kevin Cobb thing, man. I mean, now he's, you know, he's playing musical chairs with his quarterbacks there. I don't.
Yeah, he's probably gone. He might get another chance, though, somewhere. I don't know.
Oh, I think he gets another job, either as an offensive coordinator for a good team or, yeah, definitely an offensive coordinator, maybe even another head coaching job. I wouldn't rule that out. All right, Tennessee's first year coach. They're 5-9. I don't think that's.
No.
Okay, what about Carolina? This is an interesting one because they were expected to be a good team this year.
Yeah.
But it seems like Cam Newton is regressing. That team is 5-9.
Who's there? John Fox?
No, it's John Fox is in Denver. That's Ron Rivera.
She came from there. That's right.
Yeah. Ron Rivera, 5-9. I think he might get fired.
This is second year?
Especially if they go 5-11. Yeah, this is his second year, yeah. I think if they go 5, I think if they lose their last two, they go 5-11. I think they might fire him.
I can see that too.
I'm gonna put a question mark on that one.
Just because they've underachieved.
Some of these are just like, who cares anyway.
Yeah. All right,
so let's breeze through them.
All right, Buffalo's head coach is what? Not Kevin Gilbride. The other guy looks just like Kevin Gilbride. Who's Buffalo's coach?
No one cares.
Why am I blanking on who Buffalo
is? Is it Chan Gailey?
Because nobody cares.
Thank you. Chan Gailey, the coach. They're also 5-9. Second year?
I think these guys get fired if they have someone in mind that they think they can get. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to put a question mark on Buffalo because that's one where it's hard to tell. Okay, here we go. Now we get to the easy ones. All right, Cleveland, we pretty much know that guy is getting fired because they have new ownership there, and he wants to clean house, which is so weird because they just hired this guy. But he's pretty much getting fired. That's all the rumors say. Cleveland is getting fired. Okay. San Diego, Norv Turner, 5-9. Now, they tried to save their season by beating the Steelers, but is that enough?
Or they just lost to Carolina.
Yeah, they just lost to Carolina, so he's done, right?
Done. If they don't clean house there, they're going to come back and do the same thing again next year.
He's gone. Does Norv Turner get picked up by anyone else?
I don't know, man.
Not as a head coach.
All right. Here we go. Okay, now, Tampa Bay. Now, I would not have put Tampa Bay on this list, except that that team is, like, completely falling apart. They've lost, I don't know how many games in a row, 4 games in a row. They were a 6-4 team looking to make the playoffs. They've lost 4 in a row. Their players are fighting with their coaches, not like, you know, like Haley and Ben, but like physical, pushing each other on the sideline. Any chance Schiano gets fired, especially given the fact that, you know, he's already made himself a controversial figure with his, you know, I refuse to lose at the end of games?
Yes, that's a thing that you do, and if you win, it's okay. If you lose, nobody's putting up with it.
Is this his first year?
No, this is his first year.
Yeah, there's a good chance he's gone, though.
Yeah.
It just depends if the owner, what the owner thinks of that kind of shenanigans.
Yeah.
If he's okay with it, then he'll give him another year. But yeah, that's a easy, or if you didn't like it, then the record is an easy excuse to get rid of him.
All right, in New Orleans, any chance that Sean Payton does not return next year, that he decides, you know, because the NFL said that contract extension was null and void, that he decides, you know what, I'm not going
only,
back.
Only if he gets an offer in Dallas and he wants it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he'll take it, though.
Yeah.
No. I know he's got some ties to Dallas, but the better coaching job is in New Orleans, not in Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, the Jets. NYJ. All right, before we get to whether or not Rex Ryan is going to get fired, let's update everybody on exactly what's going on in the Jets. So they lost to Tennessee, costing me money because I had them in a picks pool. I needed them to win in order for me to win the pool. And they, of course, Mark Sanchez, just an interception machine, couldn't stop throwing interceptions. So they ended up losing last night to Tennessee. And on top of that, they've now benched Mark Sanchez in favor of – not Tim Tebow, Greg McElroy. It will be their starter next week. And just in, as we're doing the podcast, report out of New York says Tim Tebow will ask to be traded or released after the season.
Good for him.
Wow, there's a shocker. Why do you think that would be?
I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird that they
– I mean, how are you second string quarterback the entire year? And you never get a chance to play, and you're supposed to have all these packages for you. You never get to use it. And then, you know, the one time you're hurt, they put in the backup quarterback when you're inactive. And now you're not hurt, and they go to the third string instead of you.
Yeah. Crazy.
I don't think he should show up at the stadium. No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. I was just going to say Rex Ryan is definitely getting fired, right?
Yeah. He needs to get fired like the Steelers beat the New Orleans Saints in 1993. He needs to be fired out of this job and the next 3.
Yeah.
He's probably the worst. I want to say he's the worst head coach, but he's the worst head coach that had promise, that had a future, that had built a team. Okay. I think he's the worst head coach ever in that situation with a functioning team that was ready to be a contender and completely squandered it.
Yeah.
And it all really came, you know, I watched that game, excruciating as it was. I watched it for you, Tony, because I wanted to see, you know, is Tony going to get his, you know, cash in his chips here and, you know,
yeah,
get a little dough. And so I watched this game, and I have to tell you that the Jets team, I know they're missing receivers and that on offense, and they have injury issues. That team is dysfunctional.
Yeah, they're really.
And it's the reason it's dysfunctional is because its coach is fricked up, man. He made, you know, I understand the Tebow switch it up thing, right? We saw that ourselves earlier this year. And inexplicably, Tebow comes in, and two out of three plays against us, if you'll recall, he moves the ball.
Right.
And it looks like holy crap, we're back in Denver again. Oh my God, you know, wake me up, make this nightmare go away. And sure enough, on cue, Rex pulls him out. Right.
Yep.
And the little Tebow nightmare that, you know, was the Tebow nightmare that didn't happen in Pittsburgh. So last night, now I'm watching this game, and Sanchez is doing nothing. He's doing nothing, but he stays in. Finally, Sanchez converts a couple of first downs. What happens? Out comes Sanchez, in goes Tebow. What the hell are you doing? The guy's moving the ball, and he gets pulled out of the game.
Yeah,
I watched Mark Sanchez's face in the fourth quarter as he kept messing up and he kept throwing interceptions. I mean, he had an awful game. But I thought to myself, I said, how on earth could you have a good game under these circumstances? I mean, you're like a freaking yo-yo out there. I got a feeling that if Sanchez can get out of a Jets uniform, now it can't just be that Rex Ryan goes away. Sanchez needs a change of scenery. If he goes somewhere, if by some chance, for instance, Ken Whisenhunt doesn't get fired in Arizona and he can pick up Sanchez, I got a feeling that's a match that's made. Those two guys need each other. If Sanchez goes with a guy who knows how to run an offense, who knows how to bring along a quarterback like Whisenhunt, I got a feeling this guy can be a good player. I think he can be a good quarterback. At least he's got a chance at it. Guy has talent.
But, I agree with you, man. I know a lot of people are down on Sanchez. I just think change of scenery, right situation, maybe even a backup quarterback. I'll tell you what, you guys are not going to like this, and I'm going to jinx this again. I wouldn't mind seeing him as a backup to Ben Roethlisberger.
No, I thought I did until last night's game, and I saw really what's going on there. Not, you know, red zone stuff and that. I watched a game and saw how Rex Ryan calls. That guy is – he has schizophrenia, okay? I mean, imagine your boss is Rex Ryan, okay? You got to come to work with this guy every day. You know what the hell he's going to do next, for God's sake? Well, I would have resumes out every single day, every single night. Every spare second I have, I have resumes out.
But that was the first time they gave Tebow a whole series. And after the game, he said, well, it was just a plan that we were going to give him the third series, regardless of how well Sanchez was doing. I mean, they should have been doing that the whole season.
Apparently, they ripped that page out of Pete Carroll's book. Oh, we automatically fake punt when there's eight minutes left in the game and we're up by 40.
You know, here's – okay. It has to have been the owner's decision to bring in Tebow, right? I don't think there's any possibility at this point that it was actually Rex Ryan. It was not. I don't think there's any chance it was his decision to bring in Tebow. I don't understand at this point how he could make the decision to not. If you wanted Tebow, if Tebow was truly the guy that you wanted to bring in, why would you pass him up? Once Sanchez proves he can't, and pretty much your season is over anyway, so why not find out whether or not Tebow could be your starter going forward?
Or, I mean,
if you really believe it.
But if you brought him in to do all these packages, you would want to see if he can do these packages. You never even had to give him a chance the whole season. So I totally agree with you. I think that he didn't play him on purpose just to show up the owners.
I think this. I made this comment to a buddy of mine today. So, you know, Rex Ryan needs to be fired, and he should never, ever be let near any offense anywhere in this league. He is the worst thing that ever happened to any offense. That's for sure. He may not be the worst head coach ever, but I think he's the worst thing that ever happened to any offense that I've ever seen.
He's a good defensive coach. And, I mean, the defense is pretty good, and they would have been a lot better if Rufus was there this year. I mean, you can't discount that taking a guy out like that, you know, changes the whole defense.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Rex Ryan is getting fired.
One last thing on that, on the Tebow thing. As frustrated as he is that he didn't get to play, at this point, in that situation, that's a bad situation in New York, especially if his coach is against him, which he obviously is, and probably there's a divided locker room and God knows what else. It is best that for his own stock, that he stays on the bench and does not play in that situation. It is a blessing Tim Tebow that he is not starting this week.
Meaning if he went in and played crappy, then his stock would drop.
His stock drops. Right now
there's like, some people out there who think like, eh, you never know. Let's take a flyer on him next year.
We don't know. He's an unknown quantity. Yeah. Look how damaged Sanchez is. I think a lot of the damage to Sanchez's stock is 100% Rex Ryan's fault. Yep. I mean, to me, that whole thing, I dropped that right in the lap of Rex Ryan. And I, you gotta
how
remember,
bad? I mean, I
was a Rex Ryan apologist on this podcast a few years ago.
But look, last night I felt bad for him because they played such a crappy game, and they get the ball first down at the 20-yard line with whatever 2 minutes left to go, and Sanchez throws that interception, you know, down the field, and you think it's over, and then they get whatever it was, a 19-yard punt. They get the ball back at the 25-yard line, and then they do that friggin' fumble snap, kick the ball over here, and Tirico put it best on his call. It was unbelievable. Anyway, we should move on.
Yeah, crazy. I mean. Yeah, that game last night. All right. Dallas, if they lose, if they do not make the playoffs, is Jason Garrett fired?
Yes.
Mike?
You know, I want to say yes, and it's only if they have someone like – it may not be Sean Payton. It could be John Gruden, someone like that. But, I mean, Jerry Jones said that he's committed to Garrett.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I believe him. I think that if he finds someone – but who would want to work for Jerry Jones?
Not Gruden? You don't think Gruden?
I guess he could. I mean, it'd be like the Parcells thing where, you know, those type of personalities seem to be able to settle Jerry Jones down or control him a little bit.
Yeah. Nah, not enough. Not back off. Enough. Every capable. The problem in Dallas, I've told my Cowboy fans this, until Jerry Jones sells that team, okay, or until he's just somehow out of the picture by some other way, that team cannot win. Because any coach that can put that team on the straight and narrow, okay, will be undermined by Jerry Jones and then will leave the team, just like Jimmy Johnson did, just like Parcells did, and John Gruden, same thing's going to happen there. He'll get him going. Jerry Jones will start meddling in Gruden's affairs, and Gruden's not going to have anything of it. And Jerry Jones isn't going to care. It's his team. I own the place, blah, blah, blah. And Gruden's going to check out.
Where would you guys like to see Gruden and Cowher go? And who's another big name out there?
I think Cowher in Detroit makes a lot of sense. Even Gruden in Detroit makes a lot of sense. Gruden, I don't know. I don't know if there's a good spot for Gruden right now. You know, the Jets would be an interesting one, but that team has so much rebuilding to do.
Somebody said Philadelphia. And you know, when you first hear that, you go, why would he want to go to Philadelphia? It's a rough place. But, I mean, really, he coached while Al Davis still had his hands in the pie there. And he really did a great job in Oakland. He can thrive in those kind of situations. And I think ownership in Philadelphia is better than ownership was at the time in Oakland.
I can see Philly. I think he started in Philly as a quarterback coach.
Isn't the problem with Philly, though, that you would be stuck with a situation with a young quarterback that you didn't pick?
Yeah.
Unless he likes him.
If you like Foles, then I guess. But I don't know. That just seems like a weird situation to me. Like, you go into this team and you have to work with this guy who they've already invested, a second-round pick into this guy? So, I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's not like you can't move on from him. But you certainly have to go there with the assumption – that he's going to be your quarterback.
Yeah. What about Cowher to the Jets? You don't think he'd go to the Jets because they don't have a quarterback?
I think he wants a quarterback. I mean, it's weird that he's waiting. You know, if he's for him to wait this long and then go to a situation as dysfunctional as the Jets are going to be after Ryan leaves.
But I thought he was waiting this long to go to New York, and then it just never opened up.
And then
Coughlin was up and down, and
right.
Rex was doing well.
Right. Well. I don't know. I mean, he waited too long. If that's the case, I mean, you know, there have been better situations than the Jets in big market cities.
I don't know why these guys would want to come back, but the jobs those two guys have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're celebrities now.
Yeah.
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 I mean, they can do what they're doing for the next 20 years if they want to.
All right. What about? There's no way. There's no matter what happens with the Giants this year. There's no way Coughlin gets fired a year after winning the Super Bowl.
No. Coughlin.
And you know what? I got to say something. That reminds me of what Joe said earlier about Mike Tomlin. These two games don't mean anything, man. The guy was in the Super Bowl last year. He's already won two Super – or I guess he's only won one Super Bowl. But I don't see – I mean, he'd have to have three losing seasons in a row for the Steelers to even consider.
Oh, firing Tomlin. Well, we were in the Super Bowl last year. We were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But, yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't know that Tomlin can get fired for another, at least another couple years. But certainly if he loses the locker room to Ben and there's this – you know, you can't have that going long term.
I don't think that's a story. One other thing on the Ben thing, and I'm going to be an apologist here. Didn't someone ask Ben the question, why didn't you get the ball to Heath?
Yes.
And so he was kind of – I mean, you know, when someone asks you that question, you start getting pissed off, right?
Right.
And so he answered it wrong. But it wasn't like he came out on his own and said, oh, the play calling sucks.
But he said it multiple times. He said in multiple questions he answered with, it was a bad play call. We should have used no huddle more often. I didn't like the play calling. He said that multiple times.
Okay. Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another crazy one. Maybe crazy, maybe not. Is it possible Lovie Smith gets fired after this season? They've lost three in a row. They were 8-3. They were seemed like they could win the division. Now it looks like they have no chance of making the playoffs.
There's talk of that, and I think same thing. If they think they can get someone better, they will.
Not automatically. The word there is that the players really like Lovie Smith. I think he's an ineffective coach. I think he has been an ineffective coach, you know, since he got there. But somehow he's a player's coach, and they like him, and they like to play for him. And it makes it hard to get rid of him.
Yeah, but he certainly, you know, this is 2 years in a row now. Now last year when Cutler got hurt, obviously that was, you know, a big problem for them, but. They were in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. And then Cutler gets that injury. Then last year and this year, they fall apart at the end of seasons and miss the playoffs. I'm with you guys. I'm going to put this down as a maybe. But, man, I mean, certainly justified if he gets fired there. Because that's a team with talent.
Well, I agree with you. I think he should have been fired a long time ago.
Yeah. All right. And then my last one. And this is a very specific scenario. But if the Baltimore Ravens lose out completely, that means they go 9-7, lose five straight after losing to Charlie Batch, and then lose in the first round of the playoffs to New England. So they finish the season 9-7, and then 1-done in the playoffs. Is there any chance at all John Harbaugh gets fired?
I say no way. I mean, I think they like him too much, and he's got too much credibility right now. He'd have to have a couple of losing seasons before they consider that, I think.
Joe?
You know, your initial reaction is exactly what Mike just said. So I could just parrot that. But the reason I hesitate is because the Ravens are acting irrational. They did this already. They already made the irrational move of, you know, that's it's not the equivalent of firing Harbaugh after the season's over and, you know, a 7-in-a-row losing streak or whatever it would be by the time it's over. And, you know, that lucky as hell win against San Diego would have made it another loss. So the fact that they fired Cam Cameron and their offense in the ensuing week, I mean, Cam Cameron obviously was not the problem because their offense did, I mean, you could argue it was their worst outing of the year this week. At one point in the game, the announcers pointed out that they were 0-for-6 in third down conversions, and that was a year-long record. That was worst in the league for third down conversions. No team this season had been 0-for-6 in any game at any time. That includes the Chiefs, the Jets offense, all of the worst offenses you can imagine. None of them were 0-for-6 at any point.
Or was it third down six? Was it 6 3 and outs in a row? Was that it?
Because I gotta believe. No.
Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
The most missed third down conversions in a row.
No. It was the most 3 and outs in a game.
In a row. Season.
No, in a game. In a game.
They called it third down conversions.
Did they?
They didn't say 3 and outs.
I read the stat on the screen that said most three and outs by any team this season.
Oh, that may be – well, all right. That could also be a
– yeah. I mean, look, they were terrible. Bottom line.
Whichever one it is.
Yeah, bottom line, they were terrible.
It was the worst.
Still bad. Of any,
so firing Cam Cameron, he was not the – whatever the problem was that they were trying to pick – it was an irrational move. So now to sit here and say, no way, John Harbaugh. Hey, man, you know, it sucks to lose. It sucks to lose two. It sucks to lose three. But you know what really sucks? When you think you're a Super Bowl contender for real and you're sitting at 9-2 and then you finish at 9-7 and then you're out of the playoffs, okay? Man, you are insane, and these owners go insane. And this owner has proved that they can make insane moves late in a season, three games to go. You're one of the top teams in the AFC, and you're firing your offensive coordinator. Would be one thing if there was good reason and there was a result that showed right up. Go, okay, well that guy was obviously jacking things up, but that's not the case. So to sit here and say John Harbaugh, no way, I can't go there. There is a way. It could happen. If that whole thing plays out, John Harbaugh is probably a 50-50 at that point.
All right, so I got Baltimore. We're going to lean towards a no on that one, not even a maybe. I'm going to lean towards a no on that one. So if we're looking down the list of who's going to get fired, and I just posted the picture to Twitter so that if you follow us on Twitter, you can see my list here that I put together. I got Kansas City, yes. Philadelphia, yes. Arizona, yes. Cleveland, yes. San Diego, yes. The Jets, yes. So that is six coaches that are getting fired according to Steeler Country. And if you look at the maybes, that's Detroit, Carolina, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Dallas, and Chicago.
So if you ever wanted to be an NFL coach, get your resume ready right now.
Now
and send
time.
It to all of those teams that Tony just named. Best chance you've had in probably a decade to be an NFL head coach.
This is this is crazy. This is a lot of potential openings in one season. I mean, obviously not everybody here is going to get fired. I bet even some of the check marks that we put here is yes, yes, yes. Probably just one or two of those.
All right. So what do you think? Over under 10 head coaching changes this year?
10. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's about as high as it ever gets.
It's 12. We have 12 counting all the maybes. So let's put the over under at 6. 6 head coaching. That's average.
I think over 6.
Over 6?
That's a tough number. I think I'd go over also. I think it might be 7.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to go over as well. I mean, there's some of these that you just know where they're getting fired, right? North Turner has to get fired. Wisenhunt has to get fired. Andy Reid has to get fired. Rex Ryan has to get fired. That's 4 that you know for sure. So you just need 3 more. And you look at teams like Detroit.
I mean, some of those are going to happen like the afternoon, you know.
Yeah,
The gun, the final gun goes and
right.
Then bam.
Right, right. It's going to be like Rex
comes out of the gun.
Lock, you know? Why don't you come upstairs and talk to, you know, the owner because you're done. Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's over. Okay. All right. Well, that's our Around the NFL segment. Anything else you guys want to finish off the podcast with?
Just be optimistic, man. Be optimistic. Have a Christmas wish. Steelers make the playoffs. Go on a nice little run, just the way we thought at the beginning of the season.
Right. I think, yeah, this has been – there's been a lot of – I feel like this is kind of the most – well, it is. It's the most negative podcast we've done all season. And, you know, I mean, the Steelers made that happen. But, yeah, really, Mike is right. We should always try to be optimistic. I mean, it's not over. That's the thing. It's not over yet. All the Steelers have to do is beat Cincinnati. God almighty, we already beat them on the road when the team was, you know, up and down and we didn't know what was going on. They ought to be able to beat them at home. And then we've got the Browns, and, you know, then you just got to take care of business with the Browns. And we owe them one. I mean, God almighty, we gave them 8 turnovers. We didn't even get blown out of that game, did we?
We lost by 4 points.
Yeah, so I mean, we still had a chance to win it at the end. So take back just, you know, if we just spot them 3 fumbles, we'd probably, you know, blow them out.
6 points. We lost by 6 points in that game.
I think we want to end it on an up note here. The Steelers are still in it. The Ravens are falling apart. they're probably I think there's a very real possibility the Ravens do fall apart, and who knows what happens to them in the offseason, but I don't think anything good's going to happen for them next season. So
what do you mean? Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback, is he not? I mean, Joe Flacco, elite.
Man, is the press making elite. Him eat that? Oh, my God, are they making it?
He's going to be the most elite backing into the playoffs at 9-7 quarterback of all time.
He may be the most elite backup quarterback before you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. All right, well, we'll end on this. I'll let me go through a little injury report. I forgot to do that earlier in the podcast. Ike Taylor's out this week. Emmanuel Sanders probably also out this week, although, you know, he'll be he might practice this weekend. If he practices, it's possible he'll play. DeMarcus Van Dyke is not going to play. Justin King was signed today. I believe Van Dyke went on the injured reserve. Yeah, he did. DeMarcus Van Dyke is on the injured reserve now. They signed a free agent cornerback by the name of Justin King, who Tomlin talked very highly of today in his press conference. Seems like he was excited to bring this kid in. This is someone, Justin King, who you may recognize him if you're from the Pennsylvania area. He played for Penn State, was a pretty good cornerback there, very highly touted when he got to Penn State. Was a, I think, a mid-round pick in the draft, but Tomlin talked highly of him, so seems like the Steelers are loading up at cornerback. You know, they obviously they like Van Dyke, now they like King. You know, we know about Cortez Allen and Keenan Lewis. Mike Adams is going to practice at some point this week, but not sure if he's going to play. And they say Allen and Lewis probably both will play. Cortez Allen obviously had that groin injury that stopped him from playing this week, and then Keenan Lewis has that hip injury that he re-aggravated. We'll see. You know, hopefully both of those guys can play. Ike Taylor said he's probably 50-50 to play against Cleveland, but really targeting that first playoff game. That's unfortunate to me because I was hoping he would get a game in before the playoffs. But nice to see that, you know, the injury problem is hopefully going to sort itself out before we get into the playoffs. So, anyway. So,
everybody send Mike Tomlin one style point for Christmas yes. that he can spend in these next few weeks.
No, he's just going to throw them out the window. I mean, you shouldn't send him any of those because he's just going to throw them right out the window. All right, that's going to do it for Steeler Country this week. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. The website, SteelerCountry.net. And the Twitter, Twitter.com/SteelerCountry. If you're going to message us, it's @SteelerCountry. All one word. @ and then SteelerCountry. We'll see you next week.